2 Corinthians might be the most biographical letter about Paul and his life. I mean, he goes into his sufferings, kind of touched on his conversion story at the end there. Paul is such a pivotal biblical character. Let's get to know this, this Paul better.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. So, church, we are continuing on in our 2 Corinthians series. We were in chapter 11, verses 16 through 33 yesterday. Not only that, we also got to celebrate God's saving work through baptism yesterday. Always love baptism Sundays.
That was so much fun.
I liked how you tied in the text yesterday to kind of the landing place and the call. And also, I think that my most favorite thing about Baptism Sunday is, it's celebratory, but also it's like such a great Sunday where we have a lot of visitors, whether it's family that are believers or unbelieving family or coworkers or whatever, but just an opportunity to put the gospel on display. So,
you know, something I noticed, which was super encouraging, was the number of young men getting baptized.
Yeah.
So many dudes in that day, that just young 20-something men, and to see God moving in that demographic particularly is energizing.
Yeah, it was cool too. One of the things that I saw was like, oh, there's students of mine from when I was in youth ministry getting baptized, baptizing other people, like leaders that started serving and they're still serving now.
That's
baptizing like
encourage
college.
You a ton.
Yeah, it was super sweet. Not that it's, I mean, kind of funny.
That's awesome.
Paul's talking about like, hey, I'm not boasting in my ministry fruit, but like, it's also sweet to see God continue to work through people. And then that trickle down where it's like, I know your parents, I know your leaders, like I know people that have poured into you and to see like you continuing forward with that. And like, that was the other thing I encouraged a bunch of like SALT guys and gals too, where it's like their stories. There's always like, and then this person invited me to this, or like pressed in and challenged me with this. And there's like, just I think an encouragement for all of us as a church of like, keep doing it. Like we've got college students getting after it. Like as adults, we need to get on it too and continue to come alongside them. And
Because not only do you see the number of people professing faith in Christ publicly, but you see the number of people involved in ministry that are next to them in the tank saying like, I talked to them about Christ. I led them there. So that was sweet to see the number, not just the number of people getting baptized, but the number of our people that are just engaged in daily ministry.
Yeah. That's sweet. There's so many stories, even in all the stories that we shared, you know, everyone's got their salvation story that's on the website. You can go and read. There's so many more stories even beyond that of God at work too. Super sweet. Anyways, Jake, back to your message. So we were in 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 33. Your main idea was genuine conversion is displayed in countercultural living. So as always, first question on this podcast, if you had more time in your message to expand or include something else, what would that have been?
I think be more biographical with Paul. 2 Corinthians might be the most biographical letter about Paul and his life. And I feel like we're missing a lot of that. So if I had more time, I mean, he goes into his sufferings. We kind of touched on his conversion story at the end there. But Paul is such a pivotal biblical character. If we had more time, it's like, let's get to know this this Paul better.
I feel like that's probably in the near future of like, hey, we're going to do a 6-week class on the like Paul's missionary journeys and kind of walk through that and see where that's at in text, something like that. That'd be, that's super sweet.
Yeah.
Love that. All right. Bear with me here. This is kind of a long question, but we're going to land. So again,
question with a short answer.
Yeah, that's great. So we had the opportunity to witness and celebrate, with 44 of our brothers and sisters yesterday proclaiming, faith in Christ, taking the plunge in baptism, literally. And one of the main components of your big idea was about genuine conversion. And you talked about that and making that connection from your message to then that transition into, the baptism portion of the service. I'm wondering if you can lay out basics of genuine conversion, because I think there's also just an unintended miss in like what it truly is. And there's a lot of things that there's like, it's close. Like conversion is this, and it's actually more of like an experience. Actually, one of the stories yesterday.
I had an emotional experience.
Yeah, said there was a previous baptism that was all about just an experience, but not like the reality of Christ ruling in his heart.
Or does believing in Jesus equal conversion?
Yeah, sure.
Which is a tricky question because, like, what do you mean by believe? And what does the Bible mean by believe?
Yep.
And what does culture come to mean by believe can be two different things. We've kind of dumbed it down to I agree with these prepositions. I acknowledge this. And James particularly challenges that, or faith, genuine faith, living faith, dead faith. You're saying you believe in God, good, even the demons, and they shudder. So demons have great doctrine, even acknowledge or tremble at the holiness of God, not saved.
Right.
So what does it mean to believe? I think often Christians don't really understand the components of salvation. So one of the words – I don't remember if I used it in all three services or not, but the idea of regeneration. It's this idea of being made alive in the Spirit, or being given spiritual life. And that's a work of God that he does. Colossians 1:13 talks about there's this transferring from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. There's a change. Even in our letter in 2 Corinthians, 5:17, I'm a new creation in Christ. We get a lot of that language, or some of a contemporary term is like, are you a born again Christian? And people don't really know how to, like, what does that mean? Born again? Is that to those weird people?
Yeah.
But the term just comes from Jesus' interaction with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 of, hey, you need to be given spiritual life. You've been given physical life, but you need to be given spiritual life. You need to be born again by the Spirit. Yeah. So genuine conversion is being given new life by God, and that life is evidenced through fruit-bearing work. So we're not saved by works, but works or the fruit of the Spirit is an evidence that you have the Spirit.
Which is the point that James makes.
Yeah. And in Galatians, Paul runs the fruit of the Spirit. Yep. And Jesus says, you know a tree by its fruit. So you take that. It's like, you know a Christian by his actions, his works. This is the fruit of the Spirit evident in his life, which is a sign or an indicator that's a changed heart.
Yeah.
And the changed heart comes from the work of God.
Now, what is unique about that conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus? Because, like, why is that such like a, like, in his face, like, oh, this is totally different?
Yeah, because I think Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and the way that you get to God is you follow the law. You obey the commandments, you do the things, you do the religious practices, and that gets you right with God. And he's like, that's not how it happens.
Yeah.
You need God to step in and give you a new heart, give you a new life, give you spiritual life.
Yep.
It's a work of God. And it's not like, oh, conversion is me changing my life. I need to find God and I need to obey God, and I do that. That's a honorable pursuit, but we're saying even a genuine pursuit of that, something happened before that. Like something happened to stir up in you a heart that genuinely wants to pursue God.
Yep.
Okay, what happened? Regeneration.
Right.
Or new spiritual life, spiritual sight, being made a new creation that has new passions. That's genuine conversion. It's a work of God giving spiritual life to a person.
Yeah. Yeah. The giving of spiritual life to a spiritually dead person. It's not like you're spiritually indifferent. You're spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 makes that clear.
Yeah.
You start off spiritually dead, and until the Holy Spirit breathes new life into you and regenerates your heart and gives you spiritual life, that you are not born again.
Yeah.
You can't earn your way into that. You can't work your way towards that. You can't just be a good person.
Yeah. Which isn't a call to be evangelistically passive.
Yep.
Like, we're First Peter tells us that we're born again through the living by word of God. The work of God comes through the word of God. That's where we're commanded to proclaim it. Faith comes through hearing. Romans 10, faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So we continue to proclaim. God continues to work and opening eyes and giving new life.
Interesting, connected to this. This is a subpoint B or C to this question. So can you explain the difference between, I think, the well-intentioned, like somebody saying, hey, we're all children of God. Is that true? Is every human being a child of God?
It depends what you mean by child of God. So human being, all of creation comes about. There's only one creator. So in one sense, your maker is God. Every human being has dignity, value, and worth because of their maker. So that is true for all people. But then there are the spiritual family of God, those who have been given spiritual life, who have been adopted into the family of God or the household of God. So in that sense, there's a unique child of God.
Yep.
And then there's a broader perspective of we're all God's children in that broad sense.
So would you say it'd be more helpful and more accurate to say everyone's made in God's image?
Yes.
God is our creator, but not unless you've been reborn. You're true. Like, because I go to something like John 1, where it's like, you know, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Yes, it would be more helpful language because the Bible speaks about children of God or the household of God speaking to those who have been adopted, saved, regenerate as God's household, God's children. But everybody shares the same maker and that shares a value, dignity, worth because of our creator.
Yeah.
So yeah, words matter. So it's like, okay, we're all children of God. I always like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
You know, you have to define terms.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's sweet. There's a little bonus question thrown in there. Okay, third one here. So apparently you hate country music. No, I'm just kidding. But which was funny, in between services, there was Ian was pulling up some lyrics from some songs. And it's like,
That checks out.
There's some pretty worldly theology included in a lot of country music. Anyways, what does countercultural living look like other than hating country music? No, I'm just kidding. Music Christianity.
Yeah, country music
and Christianity. Smutty TV shows.
That's right, TV shows. So phrase your question again.
So just think about like the countercultural living that we're called to.
Let me maybe come at this really broad and get lower.
Absolutely. My question was intentionally
sarcastic. There's a sense of I'm critiquing cultural Christianity.
Yeah.
Where I'm a Christian because I'm an American. I'm a Christian, you know, I believe in God, but it doesn't really affect my life. There's no fruit of the Spirit. There's no sign of regeneration. There's an aspect of that that's good. But what I mean by that is cultural Christianity is better than secular culture.
Sure.
So would I want our culture to better reflect Christianity? Yes. That's a win.
Right.
So I want to celebrate a culture that more reflects the values of Christianity. We want that throughout our society. The danger in it is assuming I'm right with God at the day of judgment because I kind of embraced a cultural Christianity.
Right.
That's a very large danger because you don't want to just – we had a great society that led to a judgment that I failed to pass because I stood on the wrong foundation in that. So positive aspect, it's good for society to better reflect Christianity. Negative aspect, you can kind of lead people to have a lot of false assurance in that. So – a cultural Christianity that's dangerous or leads to a false sense of assurance is, I believe in Jesus. Mm. I go to church sometimes. Yeah. I'm a sinner. Jesus died, but like no regeneration, no like new life in Christ, no passion. It's not like there's no fruit of evidence of God's your king and right. you obey him and you seek to honor him. It's just like fire insurance. Yep. And I'll go and live my life however I want to live it. I try to be a nice person. That's what I mean kind of by cultural Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Because it's, again, that exposes the heart. And your heart is going to guide what you're engaging with, how you approach things. Like what – so, I mean, we often bring up music, TV, like yeah, oh, like
I need more
the entertainment. But even like – I would say like how you choose where you're – like I just think there was a guy that graduated from Co last year, Tanner, and I was so encouraged talking with him. He was going to lineman school. He had two jobs lined up. He was picking his jobs where he was moving to based on the church,
yeah,
not the job. Like mm-hmm. they were, I mean, it's not like one was a really sure. terrible job. Like they were both good job offers, yeah. but he's like, I want to land in community. I was like, mm-hmm. that's encouraging. Yeah. Like you're picking the next like leap off point of mm-hmm. trajectory of your life based on the community, like the family of God that you're like seeking yeah. to join and enter into, mm-hmm. not just like, well, I can buy a nice house, cost of living's low. Like those kinds of things where the filter is more of like, what is good for my godliness and how is God going to be at work and what can I do to participate with him and like seeking wisdom there and not just like, well, yeah, it makes sense. The job mm-hmm. offer is good, the whatever. Like I just think those kinds of filters where the question is more about, what glorifies God, not like, is this what's best for me or what I want?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably more helpful to apply that kind of a lens in
yeah.
all aspects of life.
And I think we're
just practical.
We're like, living this, in a, you know, the debate is America a Christian nation? And there's arguments that, I mean, pretty good arguments that we were built on Judeo-Christian values and principles. But what do you mean by a Christian nation? Like, you're not regenerate because you're an American. There's a spiritual need for your regeneration. And I think there can be a sense where, in the name of evangelism, we've really lowered the bar of what it means to be a Christian in a secular way, not a biblical way. Mm-hmm. So it's, I raised my hand at camp. I filled out a card. I committed my life to Christ at some time. Like it's connected to an experience, but not a life. So it's like, oh yeah, that, you know, I'm a Christian because on this date at camp, when I was in freshman high school, I raised my hand when the speaker asked. But then you look at like, okay, but now you're 40. There's no reflection of the Spirit in your life at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very Americanized conversionism, decisionism type of Christianity. It's not what's really supported in Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. No listener questions today.
No.
So, right. But again, super thankful for that opportunity. If you are listening to this and you've got a question that you want us to address, whether it's related to the message or theology, something you're reading in Scripture, we'd love to get those. You can find that link either in the digital program or on the Connection Group questions email. We'd love to hear from you guys and have more opportunities to answer some of those questions. So, Jake, thanks again for yesterday. Big idea, genuine conversion is displayed in countercultural living. Church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.